This is Pastor Bill bringing you news and focus. This one is found on Christian Post, December the 8th, and it speaks of Rick Warren on Pierce Morgan's talk show. Pastor Rick Warren joined the talk show, and he, of course, is the pastor of Southern Cal Saddleback Megachurch. He explained his position on tolerance, homosexuality, and marriage during an interview with Pierce Morgan on CNN, telling the journalist he is most concerned about the attempts to redefine the term marriage. While I may disagree with you on your views on sexuality, this does not give me the right to demean you or demoralize you or demonize you. Obviously, he's a preacher. Tolerance, Warren said, used to mean that we could treat each other with mutual respect even if we have major disagreements, but that has changed. Today, tolerance changed. All ideas are equally valid. Well, that's nonsense, Warren told Morgan. Okay, all ideas are not equally valid. You can say the moon is made of cheese, or I can say the moon is made of beans. Morgan interrupted and asked the pastor if he believes in equality for all. Then how can you, as a Christian man and a great man, how can you espouse genuine equality if you don't allow gay people the same right to get married as straight people? The journalist asked. I got to tell you, just reading Pierce Morgan's blibe is enough to make me want to go and find a bucket. It is just, the dude is just, I'm not sure that I would tell him anything other than the gospel if I saw him today. All right, back to the article. So here's what Warren responded with. I am more against the redefinition of the term marriage than anything else, the pastor responded. I don't think other groups get opportunity to redefine a term. Warren emphasized that marriage is almost universally seen as between one man and one woman. I think historically around the world, the vast majority of people would say marriage means one man and one woman in a commitment. Don't take a term and make it something different. Orwell talked about doublespeak, where the words mean the exact opposite of what they used to mean, Warren said. It's not against the law to love anybody. It's not criminal. It shouldn't be, Warren pointed out. Don't take a term and make it something different. But that's from the Bible, Morgan said, interrupting Warren, who agreed the Bible says God created marriage. There are many things in the Bible that are no longer practiced, such as stoning to death and adultery, Morgan then said. Warren responded by saying there's a difference between how he and Morgan view the Bible. Morgan then asked Warren, praising the latter's vast library, if he can envision a time when he and other Christians, including Catholic Church, will begin to support full same-sex marriage. He said, I cannot see that happening in my life, Warren said firmly, concluding the argument by saying, I fear the disapproval of God more than I fear your disapproval or the disapproval of society. Good friends, I say praise the Lord God for a man that I may not see eye to eye on everything, but Brother Rick Warren is indeed, I believe, a believer in Jesus Christ who has done great things. I am thrilled that he stood up to a man who has ears, has the ears of many people. And I must tell you, I am concerned about more than they fear the Lord. I'm really concerned about that. So, personal antidote. Yesterday, as you know, I am an Army Reserve chaplain, and I had the duty of leading and closing in prayer a ceremony. I could show you the script that I use. Yes, I wrote it in my prayer. So many people think I'm not liberal, just choke on a horse or something. I write out my prayers so that I can prove what I say if it hasn't been recorded. And I'm a Christian. There's no getting around the fact that I'm probably going to say something about Jesus in a prayer. There's no law against the chaplain saying something in a prayer. It would be much easier and probably better for my career if I would never say in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer. I'm not interested in having a theological conversation with you about whether or not you have to say in Jesus' name to pray in Jesus' name. I don't particularly care about your opinion on that at this point, dear listener. It's a story. I'm relating a story. I'm trying to get you to see that we are dealing primarily with the fear of the king versus the fear of God. Okay, so I do my duty as the man of God in the unit, and then we have one of our VIPs, and I don't have to tell you military people what rank that typically means, but we had a VIP come and tell one of the officers in my unit that I am not, chaplains are supposed to be more inclusive of everybody. Well, of course, that's just sheer stupidity, because the fact that they had me pray at all is not inclusive of everybody. No doubt there were atheists in the crowd that absolutely have disdain for invocations and benedictions of any kind. So the fact that a man still wants to have a prayer at all, but wants to say that we want to be inclusive of everybody, is just being inconsistent. Be that as it may, seven is more than three, and so I tip my hat and smile and nod. And when the message is relayed to me through from seven through five to three, and again, if you know language, if you know military talk, this is very simple for you. I looked at the person relaying it to me, and I said, well, I guess I expected that, but I'm not really able to change anything. You see, when you fear God and you have a reverence for the Son, Jesus, there are certain things you'll do. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I could have talked about Matthew 10 or Luke 12, or Luke 5 rather. Fear him who is able to kill body and soul in hell. But I'm a believer. I'm not particularly concerned about going to hell. So I find myself more in Hebrews 11. Listen to this good scripture, where it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then later on, it says, by faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Good friends, soon and very soon, if you won't start taking a stand in the face of fear of the little things, what will happen when you're on the big stage? I will say to you, do not fear the moment before it comes, as Jesus said in Matthew 10. Do not fear standing before the kings and those in judgment before that day, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in that day. That's Matthew 10. Y'all check it out. It's quite the encouragement. But I praise the Lord for Rick Warren on a national stage saying what the Joel Osteens will not say. Certainly not saying what the T.D. Jakes will not, not saying what they'll say. I mean, there is so much tiptoeing around the tulips. And as far as I'm concerned, if Billy Graham is able to be man of the year, something's not being said. When we don't speak against the sins of the day, we are placing the gospel well out of date, because the gospel is that Christ died for sins. And the less that we label as sin, the less that we label as an offense and an affront to a holy God, the less that we label as a transgression against a righteous judge, the less Jesus really looks like a hero. And my friends, there is only one hero in this story, and it is the very Son of God, King Jesus. You have a nice day.